Good morning, my friends, and welcome to this special time together on the Power of Positive Purpose. This is Dr. J. Scott Neal of the Center for Spiritual Living in Fremont, again thanking you for starting your day with me and celebrating this attitude of gratitude time of the year. Have a special treat for you today. My co-pastor and the announcer on this program is my beautiful wife, the Reverend Dr. Cynthia Cavalcante Neal. Cynthia is an outstanding communicator, speaker, and metaphysical teacher. She recently gave a Sunday morning service that had people lined up to take the CDs home with them. It is one of the best lessons on prosperity you'll ever hear, and you're about to hear it. So, my dear friends, speaking on the subject, thanks and giving, I would like to now introduce the Reverend Dr. Cynthia Cavalcante Neal.
Good morning. How's that for a little positive feedback? How's everybody? Years ago, when I first came into this teaching at the Atlanta Church of Religious Science, as it was then called, a friend of mine who dragged me there said, if you listen very carefully, you will notice that every Sunday lecture is about success. So I didn't agree with her at first. And week after week, I listened intently to what Dr. Kennedy Schultz was saying. And I just didn't get what she meant about success. Because I heard him talk about personal power and unconditional love and true happiness and perfect health. I heard him equate humankind with the divine. I heard him tell us that it was time to leave the past behind in order to live fully in the present moment. And I even heard him give us clear instructions on how to make our dreams come true. But I never heard him talk about success. But what I didn't know then that I do know now is that he was actually talking about prosperity across the board, because all good things fall into the category of prosperity. My friend called it success. But I really believe I can speak for her and say that what she meant to call it was prosperity. And there's a difference. See, success is about having things or achieving things that we can measure. Whereas prosperity is about having everything, all things, every beautiful thing you can name in immeasurable quantity. That's the difference between success and prosperity. So let's pretend for a minute that it's 25 years ago, and I'm that friend, and you all are me. But I have to warn you, that means you're young and really gorgeous, okay?
As opposed to what?
I'm just saying, enjoy it while you can. We're going to go back in time 25 years. So I could easily say to you, every Sunday lecture at Center for Spiritual Living is about prosperity. It doesn't matter what the title is. It's about prosperity. It's about living fully in the good that is ours by divine birthright. As metaphysicians, this is what we are intended to do. There is no reason in this world for us to attempt to create prosperity. None whatsoever. In fact, we don't even have the power to do this. I don't care what you've heard up until now. We do not have the power to create prosperity. It has already been created for us. Everything is already there. The power to create it belongs to one and one alone, and that one is God. Not us, God. God is the only creative power. Now, all the good we could ever dream of or desire or want or think we need, it's already there. It's already been created. We are surrounded by it, and it is absolutely unlimited. We are immersed in it. Deeply, profoundly. There is so much abundance around us that there is no way we can step out our front door without bumping into it. It would be like walking outside in the rain without an umbrella and trying not to get wet. It should be impossible to avoid, but at times we still manage to do this, don't we? And there's a simple explanation for that. If we are experiencing anything less than total opulence, there's a simple explanation for it. We have a block. It's just a block. And that block is nothing more than a lack of receptivity. In the Science of Mind textbook, Dr. Ernest Holmes writes, the spirit can do for us only what it can do through us. unless we are able to provide the consciousness, it cannot make the gift. What does that mean? See, we cannot create prosperity, but we do have the power to attract it. We have the power to attract unlimited, infinite good into our personal experience, into our real life, into our actual world. And this is our aim. We don't want to talk about it or just see others enjoy it. We want it in our own lives now. We can do this. We have the technology. And that technology is called thanks and giving. Thanks and giving. When I was a little girl growing up in Italy, I was trained to say thank you to everything. Everything. And probably you were too, but maybe some of you weren't whacked in the head with a ruler when you forgot by the nuns, right? But either way, no matter how, most of us are trained to say thank you to everything because it's polite. So I was very deliberate about it because I didn't want to get whacked with the ruler. What a pretty dress, thank you, or che bel vestito, grazie. You're so smart, che intelligente, grazie. And then there's the dreaded cheek pinch, you know how the Italians do, they just drag, che bella bambina, grazie. You know, what I really want to do is kick that person in the shins and run away, right? But no, I just have to say thank you. But today we are not talking about etiquette at all. I'm not saying don't use good manners. We should always use good manners. But today's lesson is not a lesson in manners. It's a lesson in technology. We're going to come back to this term over and over again. The word technology comes from the Greek technologia, which simply means systematic treatment. So here in this teaching, as metaphysicians, we use gratitude deliberately and systematically. We consciously employ thankfulness to provide ourselves with the objects of our desire. Now remember, these objects have already been created. What we have to do is pull them into our experience. And this is where receptivity comes in. Receptivity is key to having what we want in life. Gratitude, it's scientific. Gratitude is a scientifically proven principle. This is why it is a key step in our affirmative prayers. When we pray to the God of our understanding, we're not asking Him, in quotes, to give us anything. We are declaring what we know to already be true. Gratitude is the part where we recognize this openly and deliberately. It is impossible, you've heard me say this before, it is impossible to be at once grateful for something and repel it. When we say, I am grateful for the good that is already mine, we open ourselves to a newer, greater, deeper level of receptivity. When we say thank you, we're inviting the good in by establishing ourselves in a consciousness of receptivity, which is exactly what gratitude does. Last week when I was editing the radio program, I heard my dear husband say, "The world does not act upon us. Law acts upon our belief." He comes up with some pretty good stuff, huh? The world does not act upon us. Law acts upon our belief. So how do we apply this idea to receptivity? Well, if we look at our lives and anywhere see lack or limitation, then we can probably surmise that something is going on, something that's less than prosperity thinking, okay? But we cannot justifiably claim that the world is withholding from us. It is incorrect to say the world is withholding from me. No one can withhold anything from us. The correct terminology to use would be, law is acting upon my belief. Apparently, my belief includes some idea of lack or limitation. Therefore, it's demonstrating. My idol, Emma Curtis Hopkins, says, look at your world. Observe what's going on in your conditions. This is the exact record of your belief, of your thoughts. If you look at your world and you observe lack or limitation, there's something going on in your thoughts. If our beliefs have included some idea of lack or limitation up until now, we can change this. We can change it right here. We can change it in this moment. See, law will say yes to whatever we try to create. Law will act upon our beliefs. It doesn't care what they are. And we talk about this infinite intelligence in the universe, but come to think of it, It has a very limited vocabulary, doesn't it? In fact, God only knows one word. What is it?
Yes.
And that one word is the most important word in our experience. This is really good news for us. Yes, yes, yes. No matter what we believe, God says yes. It says yes to everything because that's the only word it knows to say. So, if your beliefs have, up until now, included some idea of lack or limitation, let's shift that. We can shift it. If your beliefs have included abundance and prosperity, that's wonderful. And you know what? Right here and right now, let's increase that. Because it only gets better. It's always growing and it should always be eclipsing itself. The only thing better than good is more good. So we start by being thankful. Again, not for the sake of manners, but for the sake of our receptivity. An attitude of gratitude says, I am receptive. Divine law receives the message, I am receptive, and it immediately is set in motion toward the demonstration of our good. I am receptive. Receptivity is the key to this. Thanks is only one approach, though. It's two-pronged. Our technology has two parts, thanks and giving. We've talked about thanks. Giving is the other. Giving is generosity in demonstration. And as human beings, we are naturally inclined to give, to be generous. It is our way. We're created that way. And doesn't it feel wonderful? I love to be generous. In fact, I often say, when I'm generous with the world is generous with me. And I've been thinking about that statement recently, and I'm thinking I need to revise it a little bit, because in truth, the world is generous with me no matter what I do, whether I'm generous or not. The world is always generous with me. The difference is that when I am consciously generous, I activate my receptivity. And this is what I want you to get from today's lecture. If you take away one idea, it's that of activating your receptivity. The law of reciprocity is always operating in the universe. It's never still, it never sleeps. It is always operational. So when we give, we can't give without receiving. This is the law. For all that you give, you receive. Every time you receive, the natural thing to do is give again. This is reciprocity in action. So when we give, we create a void. But that void is not an empty space that remains vacant for some period of time. When we give, thereby creating this void, the instant this happens, the instant that space is vacant, Spirit rushes in to fill it, and the filling is not quid pro quo. Spirit does not give back what we give. It gives back even more. It overflows. Has anybody ever lost weight only to gain it back plus a few pounds? Only two people. I don't believe you. I don't believe you at all. Okay, if I raise my hand, does that... Okay. So you know what I'm talking about. This is how God works, but in a very healthy, positive way, right? We give, and we get all that back, plus some more on top of it. This is the overflowing part. This is the pressed down and running over part we talk about in this teaching all the time. So whatever we give, it comes back to us, multiplied, abundantly, exponentially. It's a law. It's scientifically proven. There's no other way it can be. It increases every time. And so our receptivity must also increase in order to hold the extra good, the overflowing, the pressed down, the exponential. The receptivity has to increase, and then we give again. And so we are in this positive pattern of our receptivity also exponentially increasing. And when the receptivity increases, then by extension, the good we experience increases. And so it goes. How many of you like to give, love to give, enjoy giving? To whom do you enjoy giving the most? Give me a shout out. So pretty much everybody you love and the places that are important to you. Sometimes people in need, right? It feels really, really wonderful to give. I love to give, and I love to feel like I'm being generous. So when we start fine-tuning our understanding of prosperity, we look more closely at the actual mechanism of reciprocity, of receptivity. And it's not a math class, it's a spirit class. But it's wonderful to have these principles that are proven and they work, so we know how to use them. We know how to put them in place. Here's a formula. Use it. So as I, in my own life, am looking at fine-tuning all kinds of things, my workouts, my food plan, my work, I'm fine-tuning in all kinds of places. I'm also fine-tuning my consciousness, and I'm really looking at fine-tuning my prosperity consciousness. And one of the ways I'm doing that is this thing called modeling generosity. This is Reverend Dr. Cynthia Neal of the Center for Spiritual Living in Fremont. I would like to personally invite you to a two-week book study in December based on the book The Art of Extreme Self-Care by Cheryl Richardson. Facilitated by Master Teacher Reverend Darlene Sykes, this class meets on Wednesday, December 2nd and Wednesday, December 9th from 7:30 to 8:30 p.m. Extreme self-care means making choices and decisions that honor our soul in everyday life. When we care deeply for ourselves, we naturally begin to care for others, our families, our friends, and our greater global community in a healthier and more effective way. And we begin to recognize we are all connected and our individual actions affect a greater whole. I hope you'll plan to join us, and if you're visiting for the first time, mention KEST at the door to receive free admission to the class. And now, back to our program. We can model any positive behavior, and it benefits other people, because until we do, others may not understand that they can do what we're doing and more. My darling husband is fond of saying, once you prove something, you've just proven everyone can prove it, right? Now, that's twice I've quoted him. But think about climbing Mount Everest, for example. Until the first person did it, I believe in 1924, it may never have occurred to other people that they could climb a mountain almost 30,000 feet tall. And since then, somewhere around 1,500 climbers have embarked on 2,000 successful climbs. And we're talking about people from all walks of life. In 2001, the first blind man made it to the top. In 2003, a 70-year-old man reached the summit. At that time, he was the oldest person to make it to the top of Mount Everest. In 2003, a couple climbed up there and got married. So the next thing you know, Center for Spiritual Living ministers are going to be climbing Mount Everest and doing weddings. But it will happen. In our lifetime, a couple will climb with their minister to the top of Mount Everest because other people have done it, and now they know they can. This is about stretching beyond perceived boundaries, and every time we do this, we encourage others by our example. When we do it, we say to them without saying anything, you can do this too. I had this experience on Friday. I was in my spin cycling class, and the Friday instructor never turns the air on, and it gets really hot in there, and she's very challenging, but it's a fantastic class. So I'm on my bike. We're about halfway through the class, and I usually do sweat, but I look down, and my sweat has dripped on the floor, which is really gross, and this doesn't really happen to me that much. Usually it's the men, but here I am, I'm sweating on the floor, and there's this terrible, terrible song playing, and I'm thinking, oh, I hate this song, and she's saying, you have to break your highest ever RPMs, and I'm thinking, I have almost died getting to 143, and now she wants us to go higher. So I'm running and running and running and running on my pedals, and I get to 154, and there's this terrible song. And I hear the lyric all of a sudden, clear as a bell, and it says, you're not living unless you're giving. You're not living unless you're giving. And at that point, I was able just to kick it in even a little bit faster. And the woman next to me is looking at me, and then she starts going faster. And the two of us both bested our personal best. It was absolutely wonderful. And I couldn't get that lyric out of my head afterwards. You're not living unless you're giving. Now, most of us here are already giving, and many of us are giving a lot. But even at that, I want us to ask ourselves today, not should I give, because for no one here. The question is not should I give. We're doing that. We have that down. But the new question to ask ourselves is, where can I give more? How can I give more? To whom can I give more? Regardless of what's going on in my own life, how can I give more? To whom can I give more? Where can I give more? There are a lot of people in the world right now who are experiencing financial challenges. I don't want to ignore the fact that this is true. And I will openly admit that 2009 has not been the easiest year for me in that regard. Can anybody relate to what I'm saying? The only thing I know to do, the only way I know to deal with this, is just to keep on giving in every way I can. My love, my energy, my money, my time, my attention, my effort, all of that. And I'm pretty good about doing this, and I observe myself, and I'm pleased, but I also notice that at times I'm very generous with my judgment and my criticism and my nagging. And it's the darndest thing. No matter how generous I am in any area of my life, what I give comes back to me multiplied abundantly. When I give of my time and my love and my money, it comes back. When I give of my nagging and my judgment and my criticism, it comes back. So I'm fine-tuning. I'm looking at how to focus more of my generosity in the positive and not so much on the criticism and the judgment. But I want to keep giving, and I keep asking myself where, how, and to whom can I give more? No matter what, no matter what the so-called economy looks like, no matter what my checkbook balance looks like, no matter how tired I think I might be, or how overwhelmed, or how many deadlines I have, no matter what. Because what happens? When I kick it in and I say yes to more, more happens. It happens because law is behind me all the way. So this is my advice to anyone who wants to improve their financial condition or any condition. Keep giving. If you're not giving already, you must start right now. You start by thanking. You look at your life and bless every aspect of it. You openly give thanks for what you already have, no matter how small that may appear, because in the mind of God, there is no measurement. You say thank you for all I have. And then you reach out to someone somewhere and you give something. Be proactive. Reach out and give some of your time, some of your money, and some of your love to somebody somewhere. Do that this week. I charge you with this to go out this week and give something. Give more than you're already giving somewhere. If you commit to initiating this action, I guarantee you, you will see a return in no time at all. And I can make this guarantee because I witness it in my own life every day. I'm not talking to you about theory. I am talking to you about the actual practice of the principle of reciprocity in our lives. When I give an inch, the universe gives me a mile. Every time, over and over and over again, it never fails. So let's revisit the claim I made earlier. Prosperity already exists everywhere in the universe. We are surrounded by it and we are immersed in it. If we want to enjoy it firsthand, we must increase our level of receptivity. Dr. Holmes again, Science of Mind textbook. Spirit is ready to fill everything because it is infinite. It is not a question of its willingness or its ability. It is entirely a question of our own receptivity. Truer words were never written. It is entirely a question of our own receptivity and whether we are willing to increase it. The time is now. We can do this. We have the technology. It's called thanks and giving. And it's absolutely wonderful, and so are you, and so it is.
That was Dr. Cynthia Neal speaking on thanks and giving. I'll be back with you next week. I want to wish all of you a happy Thanksgiving. Know that everyone around you is filled with love because you're there. Have a great week this week, and remember, let the power of positive purpose be your wonderful way this wonderful day. This is Dr. J. Scott Neal of the Center for Spiritual Living in Fremont, thanking you for sharing this time with me this morning. inviting you to join with us every Wednesday evening at 7:30, every Sunday morning at 9:30 and 11:30. Our address is 40155 Blakeow Road in Fremont. Come down the Nimitz Freeway to Stevenson. Go toward the hills three blocks. You'll be at Blakeow and Stevenson. You'll see the Arco station on the corner. Take a right and you'll be right in our parking lot. We would love to see you. And if you come see us, say hello to me and let me know that you heard about it on the radio.
Thank you for listening this morning. If you have enjoyed Dr. J. Scott Neal on the power of positive purpose, you might like to know this radio program is based on his book by the same title. To download a free chapter from his book, visit our website at www.csl-fremont.org/the-book. This radio program is made possible by the generous donations of our members and listeners. If you would like to support Dr. J. Scott Neal's presence on the air, visit our website at www.csl-fremont.org and click the button on the right-hand side that says Contribute Online. All donations, of course, are tax-deductible. We appreciate you listening and invite you to join us every Wednesday morning at 7 a.m. right here on KEST Radio, 1450 AM. Thank you.